Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm in denial. And it don't take no x-ray to see right through my smile. I know. I'd be on the go. And it ain't no drink out there that can numb my soul. No. All I wanna do is take the chains off. All I wanna do is break the chains off. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is take the chains off. All I wanna do is break the chains off. All I wanna do is be free. All I wanna do is be free. Tell me why. Every time I step outside, I see my people die. Oh, I'm letting you know that it ain't no gun they make that can kill my soul. No. All I wanna do is take the chains off.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia, today, May 7th, 2017. Thank you so much for joining today. Today's show is titled Part 2, Hell, the Who, the What, the Where, the When, the How, and the Whys of Hell. Okay? If you hadn't had an opportunity to catch up on last week's show, I'll do a quick recap, but I highly recommend you catching up on Part 1. So that, part two is just easy to flow with. Okay, a quick intro. My name is Shamika Tia. I'm 41 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm the mother of one male child. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a leader. I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. I highly recommend you get out your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the King James. And those that follow the show, you know that I always read the seven rules regarding prophecy. It's so important to keep these seven rules at the forefront of your mind, especially when reading the Bible. So the first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number seven, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Okay, even with that list, I shouldn't have to say why it's so important to keep those seven rules at the forefront. Okay, so let's do a quick recap from last week's show. Again, it was hell, who, what, where, when, how, and why. We did an intro about what hell is not. Hell is not the grave. It's not burial plots or anything like that. And I went to the scriptures with it. What else? I also mentioned that this show is not about Judgment Day. It's not about tribulation. It's not about the day of the Lord. It's not about Armageddon or the day of visitation, etc. It is about hell. So although all of those various topics are relevant, to hell. That the show is about hell specifically, so I don't want to be any confusion of, well, why didn't she speak about this, or why didn't she speak about that. We'll get into those various topics, you know, later as the weeks go by to tie it all in together, but I just want to exclusively talk about hell, so bear that in mind. So the first thing we had covered was hell, meaning Hades. It's the Greek translation for hell, and that means not to be seen or not to see. It's used for the abode of evil spirits or the spirits of the dead. I also got into the whole, the who, because again, the show is who, what, where, when. We went through the who's. I read on Matthew 10, verse 28, where it says, God destroys in hell, not Satan. There's a big misconception about God being the ruler of heaven, Satan being the ruler of hell, and that's just not true, especially for those that sell their souls, so to speak, is what they call it. They think, you know, well, if I'm not going to be on God's side, I could just be on the devil's side, and we can just have this good old time and orgies and have a good old time drinking and partying it up in hell, because they seem to think for some reason that hell is like the place where the bad people go so they can just do bad things. And that's not true. It's not true. I read Matthew 25, verse 41, where it speaks about the devil and his angels, and that's, you know, that's a curse for them, and it's actually punishment for them. It was never for humans, but again, if the humans want to act as such and want to side with Satan, then you go where he's going. So I read that. I read Psalm 9:17, where it speaks about the wicked. I read Luke 12, verse 4. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. I read Matthew chapter 23 and 15, discussing hypocrites. I read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 24, which speaks about the rich man and Lazarus, etc. So that all proves the who section of hell. It is not Satan ruling. It's God that's ruling. Okay? All throughout Revelation, it speaks about God as the one that has the keys to hell, not Satan. So I think we covered a nice amount of scriptures that support God is the one that's in control of hell. He has the keys, punishment for Satan and the fallen angels. Okay, so this is not a great place that Satan's happy to be in. It is actually a torture, and he does not want to. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to be in there. And that's what life is all about. He's trying to prove a point to God that, why are you sending me here when the humans are just like me? And God is saying, well, if they're just like you, then they'll go where you're going. I'll give them an opportunity. I'll give them a decision, a choice that they can make. They can choose to come up here with me, or they can choose to go down there with you. And that's basically what this probational life period is all about, is where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Where do we want to go? And a lot of people think, oh, I'll go to hell, and, you know, I'm never going to get to heaven anyway, so I'll just go to hell and be, and they don't even realize what they're saying. So I thought it was an awesome topic to really discuss and really prove the facts of hell. Because it's a, and even I used to think the same thing, like, oh, okay, well, we can go to heaven with God, or we can go to hell with the devil. And again, a lot of people think, well, I'll just buddy up with who's in charge of hell, so that when I get down there, you know, we can just, I could be his right-hand man. And they really do take that stance, and they actually operate with him like that on earth. And they go out and they do things for him, whether it's killing or raping or, you know, really after the soul. Likewise, God's people are after the soul. So it's like this big battle going on with us human agents. We're working on behalf of God, or we're working on behalf of the devil. And one is trying to save souls. The other one is trying to condemn the souls. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what's going on here in the earth. And it appears that they are winning. And why would it appear that they are winning is because, again, there's a big misconception about hell. it's a very bad misconception. I don't know how it became so, because it's clearly in the Bible all about it. And for some reason, I don't know if we just skipped through it, or whether it be not paying attention, or we just went with the obvious. Okay, well, if, you know, when you think of hell, you think of Satan, and you think of him being this ruler down there, and he's the one that's doing the torturing, and it's just not the case. It's just not the case. He's doing that on earth, but in hell, that's not the case. So let's pick it up with part two today. So we did we covered enough of the who section. We can go into the what. But before we go into the what, Isaiah chapter 14 does a great job at summing all of it up in a nutshell. So let me just read that really quick. I wrote down verses 1 to 27. So let me just read verses 1 to 27. Again, we're in Isaiah chapter 14. So it says, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." Verse 3 says, "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual smoke, with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth." So you see that? I mean, pick up on that language. I'm going to read verse 6 again. "He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It had raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down into the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the bosom, with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So, yeah, that chapter alone gives the who, the what, the where, the when, the how, and the why. But mainly the parts that we really, really want to pay attention to that is relevant to the show is verse 12, where it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will descend up into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. But then it says, right down, like, almost like, hey, put you down here with us. Look at verse 16. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake up the nations, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that openeth not the house of his prisoners? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So it's like there, the people in hell are going to be shocked at, wait a minute, what are you doing here? And not only what you're doing here, you're just like us. Like, you, we thought you was going to be ruling in hell. You're not. You're not. You're not. And there's going to be shock. You're not. You know, it's taught and believed that he rules hell, and, you know, we got a choice if you want to do good and evil, and if you do evil, it's all good. You just go on the evil side, and, you know, and you can just be with him doing evil things. That's not what's going on. He's not ruling anything in hell. It's actually a punishment for him and the fallen. Okay, and I've read all those verses last week. So you have to, especially Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. It clearly says, for the devils and his angels, this is why hell was created. Okay? And I also went into last week that this is not, hell is not the same place as those people years ago that was like burning their kids, or when you read the scriptures that say, cause their kids to run through the fire. Like, this is not the same place, and you need to catch up on those scriptures. And I read Second Chronicles chapter 28, where, you know, it's speaking of the southern side of Jerusalem, or the Valley of Abomination, in Second Kings 23, also Second Kings 33. I read those scriptures to prove the place Gehenna that they refer to as, where the children were sacrificed to Molech in the southern sides of Jerusalem, that's not hell. That's not hell. That's exactly as it says, the south side of Jerusalem, and that's where, you know, it was fire, it was hell-like, but it's not the hell of where, you know, Lucifer and his fallen angels and the evil spirits. No, that was actually a natural place. Okay? So don't be confused with those two. All right, so I just wanted to make that clear in case you didn't have a chance to catch up with last week's show. That way you're not totally, you know, thinking that or can't receive new information. Okay, so before we continue on with part two, I'm going to quickly open in prayer. Mighty God, the one true living God, the God of the universe, thank you so much for this blessed day, the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for your mercy and for your patience and for your grace by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, to become sin and die on our behalf so that we may be forgiven of our sins and restored back to our original nature, so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Father, so much for this platform and to be used as your vessel, that we all may learn and grow in your word together. We're hungry and we're anxious and we're excited as we enter into the remaining years of tribulation. Please, Father, give us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to fulfill your will for our lives and for the lives that we are responsible to oversee. Thank you, Father, for being our teacher and gifting us with discernment as we interpret what your will is in these last days. Please lead us to your full understanding without distraction. And Father God, I pray that the enemy will not eat up any seed today, whether it was planted or harvested today. I pray that none of the listeners or viewers will allow this seed and this word to be fallen and eaten up by the enemy. In Jesus' matchless mighty name, amen. So, yeah, when you're learning truth, you almost have to expect the enemy to come in, whether it's discredited the speaker of the truth or whoever, probably the messenger he's going to try to discredit. Because if you discredit the messenger, then you discredit the message. So you have to be mindful of that. He usually will attack that person's character or make you think that what the person is saying is a lie, and, you know. So don't let him do that. Again, that's basically his role. I mean, if you knew how his ending was going to turn up, you can't really blame him with all the confusion and the lies and all this. I mean, you cannot blame him. However, you have to expect the strategy that he uses, and that's the number one strategy he uses, is discredit the speaker. Because if you discredit the speaker, you discredit what's spoken. So keep that in mind. All right, so let's get into the what. Let's get into the what. We did the who. Let's get into the what. That's the next phase. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. I like the language, not like it, but the language used in Luke chapter 16 is very good and direct. Luke chapter 16. And let's just pick it up right where we need to. Verse 27. Luke chapter 16, verse 27. It says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, because the writing is in red. It says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would have sent him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So the rich man was in hell when he was speaking about this place and described it to be the place of torment. He wasn't in there having a great old time. He wasn't in there chilling with the devil. He wasn't in there having orgies. He described it as a place of torment. And a lot of things we can learn from that language. We can also learn, well, he was able to see, hear, speak. He was fully, fully conscious, okay, in this hell, which is he referred to as the place of torment. Okay? He was fully, fully aware. It wasn't like, and again, another bad misconception of is, well, when you die and you're dead and that's the end of that and you're no longer conscious. And that's just, I mean, I don't know where people get this stuff from. Okay? And that's why we must read the Bible. Why do you think these recordings, I'm not going to call them, I was almost going to say stories, but they're not stories. They're recordings. Okay, recordings. Why do you think these recordings are in the Bible? So we can be aware of what's actually going on there. Okay? what is actually going on. And again, you should have picked up that language in Isaiah chapter 14. They were fully conscious of what was going on, fully conscious, and they even called Satan a man. If you picked up on the language, oh, isn't this the man that was, weakening the nations, almost like he didn't hear with us in our same predicament. You know, they thought, I guess, waiting for him to come and be this great ruler in hell. And they were kind of shocked. That language lets them know they were surprised to see him there like that in that present state, as they should be. Why wouldn't you be? Like, man, I was doing all this stuff, working on your behalf, thinking, you know, the light at this end of the tunnel is us ruling together and doing all these, you know, wicked things together, like they was going to be chilling. And that's just not the case. It's not the case. Check out 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Okay? That's a mouthful right there. That's a mouthful right there. That's describing the prison, a temporary holding cell, if you will, till the day of judgment. So that already even lets you know, too, that's not even the final destination. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down. So we notice, again, we're discussing the what. They get being cast down to hell. Who? The angels that sinned. And also described it as chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Okay, and then, like I said, judgment is a whole nother subject. A whole nother subject. Okay, so that's discussing the what. The what of hell, place of torment. Chains of darkness. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. There's some language in there we don't want to overlook. Matthew chapter 25. This time let's pick it up in verse 46. Well, oh, yeah, let's just go right to 26. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into, see how it's describing it? The what? Eternal punishment. So we got place of torment, chains of darkness, eternal punishment. Okay. This is descriptions of hell. Doesn't sound like any doesn't sound like a good place to me. Or a place where you're going to be in there chilling and having barbecues because of the fire and orgies. And no, I don't think so. Let's do Matthew chapter 5. Look at the language in verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should not perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. So you see, this is saying almost avoid going to hell. If you need to pluck your own eye out, do so. Better to go eyeless than be cast in, for the whole body to be cast into hell. Okay? And actually, since we're in chapter 5 already, back it up to verse 22. Listen to this. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's the what? In danger of the hell fire. That doesn't sound like something good. Hellfire. I'm not sure how anything that can be referring to fire. One would think it's good or not as bad as it seems. I mean, like I said in part one, if you get popped with grease that's almost torture. But to really, you know, make a decision to say, I'd rather choose hell and think that that's going to be something good or not so bad to me is baffling. It really is. Go to Mark chapter 9, 43. We're still dealing with the what section. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Again, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Look how it's describing. Fire that will never be quenched. Verse 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 46, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Look how many times it says that. The fire will not be quenched. Never. Never. It says it multiple times. The fire will not be quenched. Okay. Let's go. Let's hold off on the Gospels for a second. Let's go to Psalm. I like the language description here. Psalm chapter 9. Look at this language. Let's just read the whole thing. Let's just do it. Let's read the whole Psalm chapter 9. Okay, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And this is obviously the Psalm of David. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging. Excuse me, thy status. I wanted to say safest, but thou sattest, sat down in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgotteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Okay, you see that? From the gates of death. We got to pay attention to the language that's used. In verse 14, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down into the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in thy works of his hands. Higgion, Selah. That means, obviously we know that means to meditate. Verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So what's happening? That's the what. We're still in the what. It's the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Okay? So what did we learn again from that? Chapter 9. This is Psalm chapter 9. Okay, that was a mouthful. Wicked turned into hell. It doesn't sound like a pretty party there. And in verse 15, it says the heathen are sunk down in the pit. Sunk down in the pit. What's the what? Place of torment, chains of darkness, kept under punishment, eternal punishment, fire that never goes out and be quenched, turned into hell, the sunk down in the pit place. This is what the what is. Okay? It's the hell of fire. Never burning out. That's the what. We can, let's go into Revelation chapter 9. Excuse me, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Check out the language in verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay? A lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's the what? Cast down in there. Who? The devil, his angels, his fallen angels, the wicked, people that have the mark, those are the who's. And what is the what? Cast down into the place of torment, chains of darkness, eternal punishment, the realm of the dead, a place where the fire is never going out, never going to be quenched, thrown alive in there. They will be conscious in hell. There's no such thing as dead, it's just dead. Oh, well, if you embalm my body and I want to be cremated and that's it, once I'm gone, no, nope, that is just for the flesh. cremating is just for the flesh. And then there's another realm to that. The soul, the spirit, that's eternal. So humans are immortal and never really looked at ourselves as such. I remember I asked that question on not too long ago. Are we humans immortal? The answer is yes. Yes, we are. The flesh is not, obviously. The flesh gets old and, you know, through time, and then eventually, you know, we shed the flesh, separation of spirit and body, and then there's another, that's just the first realm, and it's another realm. And that's the eternal. That's the immortal part of us. All of us, not just some humans, not just believers, any human. It is eternal spirit. Okay? And that alive will be thrown into the fire, as I just read in Revelation chapter 19. The what is happening in hell. It's not a place, it's not good. Okay? Nothing I read should make someone go, oh, well, I want to get there. Let me see what it's like down there. You don't need to. There were already places that was resembling that. Like I said, you know, the place where they were sacrificing the kids and having their kids run through the fire. That was similar, but that wasn't eternal. That wasn't eternal. I don't even know why he was doing it. I mean, people come up with, that would definitely be at the top of the list. It's almost like Satan was getting them ready. Oh, why don't y'all have y'all kids run through the fire to worship Molech? And then he's going right to God. See what they're doing? You see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? And you're sending me to hell. Look what they're doing. They're already preparing for hell. It's like he tricks us into doing stuff and then tattletales and makes sure he accuses us of that very thing he's put in place for us to do. Talk about manipulation to the highest degree. Going to read Revelation chapter 6, but I think that'll be another topic. Well, I know why I flagged it. I flagged it because I wanted to show that he only had power over the, and was given power. Okay, well, let me read it anyway, because we're still dealing with the what. So I flagged Revelation chapter 6, and I flagged 7 through 8. So I'll just read it really quick. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And hell, they go hand in hand, not for the believer, obviously. But it says, let me read verse 8 again. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Okay, so I don't want it to be clear that he doesn't have control over everybody. It's just the fourth part of the earth. So keep that in mind. It's a lot of people, again, I don't know where this doctrine comes from, that, oh, well, Satan's ruling the earth, and then, I mean, which part of the earth? If you're going to say a statement, be very specific in what it is you're talking about. And if you didn't know, you didn't know. Now you do. He's not ruling the whole earth. He definitely should not be ruling believers. This is a fourth part of it, okay? So that's why I flagged that part. Death, and then hell follows death. Be mindful of that. If you are not a believer, as soon as you die, and death go together. They have movies about it. We just didn't even realize that the movies were 100% accurate. You ever see these movies that show someone dying or getting killed, and then immediately they show these dark images or shadowy type of images, and then they come to get that person? And we always thought that was a movie or just in the movies, but that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happens, and Scripture backs that up. Actually, what I just read backs that up. But Scripture backs that up. What I read in Isaiah backs that up. Death comes to get you. Hell comes to get you, basically. Basically, that's what's happening. So that's the what section. We did the who section. We did the what section. What, where. Let's get into the where. Okay, the where is like going to jail before your court date and sentencing. It's the waiting period. Okay, so the where is the region of the wicked dead people, the place where rebel men and angels are punished. It's the preliminary to the day of judgment. You need to understand that. So let's go to, we're dealing with the where section now. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. The language in there is really nice and descriptive. Proverbs chapter 15. And I flagged verse 24. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24 says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Where? Hell beneath. Where is hell? Beneath. Beneath, beneath, beneath. Okay, down below, down, down. Let's go again into Matthew chapter 11. This is all describing. They did a test on that. They had some kind of device, and they went all the way down, 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 down. They went far, far down, 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 and it was recorded. They had a little device, not that they themselves went, but they had a device in audio. And the further and further down the device, they heard screaming, hollering, that sound like people being tortured. So I don't know why y'all are overlooking this part, especially those ones that science, scientists and whoever, like I said, whatever they call themselves, these scientists or archaeologists or biology, whatever, they have dug deep down. I'm not talking about 6 feet under. They kept going. They kept going. And they had a device that had audio in it, and they picked up on screaming, and it sounding like a, and it kept getting hot. They described it. The temperature was getting, the further and further they went, the hotter and hotter it got. That was proven. Down below. Down, down, down below. Check it out. Google it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." What does this say? Down to hell. Hades. Down. It's beneath. It's below. Way down. All the way down. When you talk about heaven, they're talking about up and ascending. You took them out down. I mean, you took them out of hell. They took about down. One's up, one's down. Down, down, down. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's pick it up right in verse 15. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Down. Down to hell. Down. It's down, down, deep down. There's no other word. It's down below. 2 Peter chapter 2. We've already come back there. It's God and not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell. Down. Again, it's talking about down to hell. The dark abyss, the place of punishment, down below. This has Tartarus, in Latin means Tartarus, and it says 8 facts about Tartarus. It's a prison for angels. It's located under the earth. It's a place of confinement for angels until judgment. It's also a place visited by Christ when he went to hell. References to that is Psalm chapter 16:10 and 1 Peter 3:19. It's called a place of darkness, a place of eternal fire, a place of vengeance. And then it says the word is used only here, but in the Greek writings, Tartarus was held to be a place in the earth lower than Hades, where the Titans, the primeval deities, or the giants who were supposed to be the first children of the earth and even the older than the Greek gods, were cast when they lost their war with Zeus. So this says, okay? But no matter what, when it's describing, again, it's not contradicting scripture. It's down below, down beneath, under the earth, low, 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 low. Okay, so it says a place visited by Christ when he went to hell. Let's go to the scripture reference. It references, actually, I'm going to write that down. Jude 6-7. Okay. And then it says Psalm 16:10. And then it says 1 Peter 3:19. Okay, so since we're already in 2 Peter 3:19, let's read. And it says, oh, awesome language. In 1 Peter chapter, let's back it up to verse 17. It says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. You see that language? The spirits in prison. Okay? And doesn't this support everything we've said so far? Okay? Death is immediately followed by hell. So when Christ died, hell immediately followed. And he was quickened by the Spirit. Okay? But then this says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. See? That's the immortality of the spirit. that's proving that we are immortal. Actually, 1 Peter is an awesome book to read, the whole book, cover to cover. It's an awesome book to read when you have some time. Because just around the scriptures doesn't really do that, those chapters, any justice. They really are. Peter is awesome. 1 Peter and 2 Peter, excuse me. So read it when you get some time. But specifically for the show and dealing with hell, verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Also, he went and preached. So why would Christ preach to someone that's not going to hear him? So he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Okay? That's saying a mouthful. Then it says in verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Then it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Imagine that. Okay, priests unto the spirits in prison. That's hell. Tartarus. Right? I mean, just we need to listen, pick up on that language. When you die, you don't just die. Stop letting ignorant people tell you what's happening or who you are as a human being. We are immortal. The flesh is not immortal. We are. We're not just flesh. You need to check out my show called Creation, the Outer, the Inner, and the Core. As humans, we have an outer, an inner, and a core. Like God, I made you guys in my image. Body, soul, and spirit. Likewise is God. God is the outer flesh was Christ. It's God, and then there's the Holy Spirit. Same thing with us. We have our outer flesh. We have our spirit, which is the inner man. And we have the soul. With 3 parts. And if you think about it, everything was kind of made 3 parts. Look at an egg. Look at fruit. Look at all of creation. Why do you think you humans are so different from anything natural on this earth when you can actually see it? Everything has an outer, an inner, and a core. Everything. Every single thing. Everything. I'm looking at a bottle of water on my dresser. The outer is the plastic that it's containing it. The inner is the water in it. And the core is what's in the water. The minerals or whatever, and whatever kind of water you choose to drink. Everything, even a simple glass of water, it has 3 parts. An outer, an inner, and a core. My spirit as well. Us humans as well. The outer layer is always is what gets discarded. If you're going to eat an apple or an orange, yeah, some people can eat the apple seeds, and sure, you can eat the outer. Sure. If you want to eat orange peel, sure. Some people cook. I cooked some meat one time using orange peel because I went to a restaurant, P.F. Chang's, and they had a steak dinner where it had orange peel, and I thought that was a pretty awesome taste. So, you know, I mean, you don't want to eat too much of it at once, but it definitely was very good. You know, you can shave it with like a, take like a grater and shave it. So you can eat it. I mean, I don't think you want to eat eggshells. So there's some core you don't really want to get into eating it. Maybe it has another purpose besides eating it. You should be eating the whole thing. You know, hey, now we have blenders and juices and stuff where you can actually eat, you know, throw the whole thing in there and it'll shred it all up really fine and nicely. So, yeah, but, you know, but I fail to say it, everything is made with three parts, an outer, an inner, a core. Likewise with us humans. The outer is, of course, like most things, temporary. Like most things, it's temporary. Okay? That's why if you have a piece of fruit that starts getting overripe, and again, look at nature. Because if you think, well, if we're immortal, then why do we die? Well, that's just part of nature. If you have an orange that's sitting up on the dresser, after a while, that outer is going to start becoming overripe. In other words, it's getting old and it's getting ready to die, like us humans. But guess what does not die? The seeds, the core, that could be replanted. It could be replanted. You'll never see farmers or, you know, people that live off-grid, and you'll never see them throwing away the fruit or vegetable. You just won't see it. They see the value in that inner core. Us, we just eat it and we throw the seed out, but that's just food we're throwing away. We take what we need and we get rid of it, and, you know, that's the most valuable part is the seed. Likewise with us humans, the most valuable part of us is our inner man, that immortal spirit. That's why hell is so hard to grasp, or heaven is so hard to grasp. They're only looking at the outer core. Oh, well, I'm a human, and when I die, that's it. And I ain't going to be worried about nothing else when I'm dead. Really? They misunderstood nature. They misunderstood who they were as a human being. You're not just a human being. There's no such thing as I am just a human being. We are living souls. And that is immortal. It's immortal. It's immortal. That's why this is so important. This is a very, very important subject. And you can't really, it's really hard to follow along if you don't understand who you are. So maybe you need to do that first. Find out what a human being is. And then maybe you'll think differently. Well, if I'm immortal and I'm never going to die, and or there's a part two to death, then maybe you would take this a little bit more seriously. Give it more attention rather than to just, what they say, I'm just going to just eat, drink, and be merry. It's what some people's mentality is, because they're thinking, well, when I die, I'm not going to be worried about nothing else. You sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I should say that. That's not it. That's not where it starts, and that's definitely not where it ends. So let's study up on this. Like I said, don't take my word for it. Study up on it. Just take my word for it. No, study it for. Okay, I apologize. For some reason, the line hung up. I don't know at what point it hung up. But let's get back into it. That's the wares. I think we've covered a nice part of the wares. The who, what, the where. Okay. I wanted to quickly read that what we just read, maybe five. I want to quickly read Jude. Remember, it gives a reference to Jude. It's a nice, short little book, Jude. I mean, it's just as usual, I have the heat on that's facing me. My room is downstairs, so it's always cool down here. Let me turn this heater off because it's drying me out. Hold on. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So Jude, like I said, it's a nice short book, very short, just one chapter. Let's start in verse 5. Actually, you know what? Let's read the whole thing. Since, I mean, it's a nice, important book. Let's read the whole thing. So, Jude, the story of verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and called, mercy and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to you that you should earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, and don't that sound familiar? Does that not sound familiar or what? Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. See that? Don't overlook that language. Verse 6 again. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after flesh, are set forth for an example, fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of the core. my Bible gives a reference of that, and it says it's Korah. And it gives a reference in Numbers chapter 16. Remember, we are dealing with different languages here, so there was a few, but for some reason the people only think that the Bible was translated from Hebrew, which is crazy, because there was many languages that the Bible was translated from, Aramaic being one of them. So like Noah, you'll see Noah translated, when Jesus says Noah, he says it totally different than the N-O-A-H, and why that is, again, there was different languages. So likewise, this, verse 12, these are in your feet. They feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds there without water, and trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. See that? Twice dead. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walkers after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, build it up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Yes, of course it was. Of course it was. I mean, that, like I said, that book alone was, it's great. And especially in verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day. That's prison. Okay? The devil and these same angels are in prison. Okay? That's why I'm actually kind of shocked sometimes with the things that are allowed, that our people allow. I should say that we allow Satan to wreak havoc, because he's in prison. How do you have people in prison ruling and controlling and reigning in your life, and they're in prison? In prison. Why would you give your soul over to someone in prison, in bondage? It's just, you know, it's a little, it's, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Did I read Psalm chapter 16 already? I think I did. I read Psalm 16. I probably, see, a lot of this when I was studying for the show, with one saying one chapter, it also, like I said, it was already given the who, what, where, when in most of the chapters I read. No, I don't think I read Psalm chapter 16. But anyway, I flagged. Oh, I see why I flagged this. Because it has a reference Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is full of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That's a familiar scripture and verse. Let's read the whole 16. I like that. Psalm chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the right, excuse me, in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope." And then it says in verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Wow. See how this is, again, this is describing seeing corruption. It's the where. The where. Okay. And also, Job 41. Let's see here. Sorry about that. I guess when you're talking about hell, you trouble hell. Anyway, let's get back into, I was getting ready to read Job chapter 41, and I flagged verse 31. This chapter was talking about Leviathan, okay, the serpent or the dragon, and it goes on and on and on, but I only describe this chapter, use this chapter in the where because of the language used in verse 31, where it says, "He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment." Okay, so that's why I use this to describe the where, the deep. Okay, so this is all the places hell is described as: down, 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 the deep, below, under the earth, down, 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 down. It's the where. We got about a half an hour. We can probably finish up because I have so many topics waiting in the queue to get to. To do the show. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, we can finish out. We got about a half an hour left. I don't want to hold up too much in the queue. I got a bunch of shows lined up. Next week we'll probably tackle the subject of cursed because that's been waiting in the queue for a little bit. Anyway, let's finish up the Hell series. It's not really a series, but this is part two. Let's deal with the when. So we covered the who, the what, the where. Now let's cover the when. When? After separation of body and spirit. When you die, okay, following death. Some will say the end of the world if you haven't died yet. Let's say if you all this happening and you're still alive, the remnant, for example, or those that have not given themselves to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before they died, that's the when. When is at death, at separation of body and spirit, is the when. We already covered that language in 1 Peter chapter 3. It speaks of when you die, and then it's speaking about the spirits in prison. Some would say, oh, that's the angels. It doesn't matter, because we spoke about both. This is the place for, yes, those angels, and it's also the spirits of the non-believers. So, it covered both of those, you know. Hebrews chapter 9, let's run there really quick. This half an hour usually goes by pretty quick, and my phone keeps hanging up all of a sudden. You know, when you speak of certain subjects, you got to expect resistance. I can tell you that. They will be resistance. But the show will go on. So let's go really quick to Hebrews chapter 9. Of course, I should. I used a flag, but I tell you before, I have so many flags all throughout my Bible that they just kind of camouflage with each other. Hebrews chapter 9, I flagged verse 27. Let's pick it up there. Actually, let's pick it up verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year for blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay, so that's the win. As it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Okay? I like that language. In Matthew chapter 13, it speaks of the end of the world. Again, there's a hell prison state, and then there's the lake of eternal fire. You know, there's a lot of different language used throughout scriptures, and for some reason we like to link it all in one box, and it's really not. Revelation describes it really, really well when it's discussing, you know, the 1,000 years he's going to be bound up, and then after that released, and there's going to be this great battle of Armageddon and all. So you have to just let the Bible be its own interpreter. That's why I read those 7 rules at the beginning of each of my shows. There is nothing for us to interpret. We want to discern properly. We do want to have understanding. We do want to apply wisdom, but those are gifts you have to pray for. Okay? Interpreting is not one of them. We do not need to interpret the Bible. It's already interpreted. Where it doesn't say in one part of the scripture, if you read on, it will say it in another. So there's nothing left for the imagination. Thank God. Thank God. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 13, let's pick it up in verse 47. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathereth of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Okay? So some is saying that's hell, but again, the furnace of fire, it's you know, let this be this own interpreter, okay? Let's just take it for what it says. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this is describing when? At the end of the world. Hell is being described after death, after separation of body and spirit. This is saying at the end of the world. Okay? The end of your human life and the end of the world is 2 separate events. So we need to keep that in mind. Bear that in mind. It's 2 when you in your human life here on the earth, that's not the end of the world. That's just the end of your human life on earth, and then you have reached your next stage. Okay? So, but we're still dealing with the win. Okay, we're just dealing with the win at the end of the world as well. There's going to be a furnace of fire because there's going to be a separation of good and evil. The good going here, the evil is going there. I also wanted to read really quickly the language in Revelation chapter 20. Because, again, the end of your life or our lives and the end of the world is two separate events. So in Revelation chapter 20, let's pick it up in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So you see how this is describing part two? So this says, and I saw the dead. So that means they were in hell, the prison. And then at this stage, judgment. Judgment and hell is two separate things, okay? Because it wouldn't be, he wouldn't have said he saw the dead, okay? And then in verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. See that? See that? I love this language because it's really separating all of it. Let me read 13 again. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So see, I didn't want you to think the lake of fire and hell was the same thing. It's not. Hell is a prison unto that time. Okay? When you die and you are not a believer, immediately you go to hell. It's not you're in the grave until the end of the world. That's how it was taught and told to everybody. That doesn't make it true. According to the scriptures, when you die, death and hell go hand in hand for the non-believer. Okay? And it says right here, and after this time, the judgment and the books is open and, you know, everybody has to get account of what they did. Then it says in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? So, what do we learn? The lake of fire and hell are two separate stages, I should say, two separate stages of after we leave earth and shed the flesh body, okay? And actually, if you read verse 5 in the same verse, chapter 20, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So read that whole book slowly and see if you can pick up on, there should be some clarity as you go on and on and on and on. Okay? There should be clarity as you read on, as you read on and read on. But that language right there alone, you know, hell and lake of fire is not the same thing. When you die and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you immediately go to hell, which is a prison, a chain of darkness. We did the who's there, we did the what, we did the where, we did the when. How? Well, we've got about 20 minutes. Let's do the how really quick. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, punished with everlasting destruction. Matthew chapter 13, verse 50 says, thrown into the blazing furnace. Acts chapter 2, verse 27 says, abandoned to the realm of the dead. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, gnashing of teeth. This is a place of torment, punishment. Okay? For the evil spirits, for the dead that have the non-believers, the people that turned away from God, ignored God, whatever the case, whatever you want to call it. I use several different languages and seven different verses. There is no mistaking about how this is going to happen. Right after you die in the natural on earth, boom. That's what's happening. Immediately. We heard the rich man begging for Lazarus to come back and warn his father and his brothers, and Abraham having to tell him, we cannot. There is a great gulf fix. We cannot do that. That means you're fully conscious of what's happening, but you cannot communicate with the earth, the people that's still on the earth realm. You're now in chains of darkness. You're now in prison, okay? So that's the hows, and you need to study up on that a little bit more if you need to. Let's deal with the why. Vengeance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 says, also a recompense tribulation to them for disobedience, forsaking the Creator. Ignorance. Serving other gods. Serving money. Serving man. Not understanding our purpose. Not understanding what we were created to do. Bunch of reasons why. A few reasons why. But the number one was obviously vengeance. Vengeance. Okay? This was never our battle. We hear a lot throughout Scripture, the battle is not. This is never our battle. Never our battle. We wanted to involve ourselves in something we had really everything to do with, but really nothing to do with, and chose Satan and did and operate here on the earth doing evil things. I mean, look at Cain, killing your brother because he's doing something good. Vengeance has to be taken for that. Okay? That's why God says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. Like, I got you. I wrote down some proofs. Hell is like prison, but I think I've already proven that. I have a few different notes, but I think we kind of touched upon all the notes. I wrote down, like, scriptures proving we were immortal, John chapter 5 and Acts 24. We covered, like I said, we covered enough of it where I don't need to get into that. What I do want to get into before I end the show is how you can turn this around. This does not have to be, it's almost why would you let this be? We don't have to accept this as our reality. This was never supposed to be our reality, as I've just proven. This was not a place for humans. So why are we accepting this as our reality? That's his reality. Let it be his. Do you want to be that person? And you're like, whoa, what are you doing here? I thought he was, No, you don't want to be that person. It's unnecessary. There's a beautiful for us. Let's go there. Let's get there. That's a decision we can make too. If you read the beginning of Genesis, it says that we were created in God's image. And that's not entirely true. After the fall, if you read Genesis chapter 5, it says we are now in Adam's image. So we're God-like, but we still have the... God is not going to cancel out the laws of nature. We're still three parts, like him. He's God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's three in one. Likewise, we're three in one. However, we are not in his image. We are in Adam's image. So if when you understand that language in Genesis chapter 5, you understand that we need a Savior. to restore us back to God's image. And that's pretty simple to do. It sounds complicated, but remember, God's yoke is very easy. I mean, if you look, if just doing this show alone is enough to show how hard and bondage and torture and torment and if that's easy for you, then rock on. But if that does not sound easier to you and you want to be restored back to your original nature, which is in the image of God, you need the Son to do so. And you can do that by just opening up your mouth verbally, loudly, saying, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your Son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life, spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And if you said that, welcome to the kingdom. You have made a great decision. You are now a part of the royal kingdom. It's as simple as that. The rest is having God order your steps and listen to what he tells you to do. Maybe your walk or your steps may be a little bit different than someone else's. I mean, if you, and that's scriptural as well. Some people, Jesus said, come follow me. And it was people that he just healed and said, go your way and tell no man. And, you know, find out what your walk is and what your responsibility here in this earthly realm is so that you can do it and not really have to worry or doubt where it is that you're going when you die, or two, what it is you, or are the angels going to separate you? Are you going on the good side or are you going on the bad side? You don't want it to be any doubt in your mind if there's just some little tweaks you can make. And that's really all it is little tweaks. It sounds complicated because we like to do what we like to do as humans, but it's just small, miniature tweaks compared to what we're getting in return. We're getting a free gift. We're getting eternal life. We're getting paradise. As opposed to what? I mean, look what we're exchanging it for. Exchanging it for torment. So why is that a bad thing? Why is that hard? So understand that. Understand that a lot of us have been taught incorrectly that you can stay neutral and you can just, you know, when you die, and that's it. So just stay neutral in the meantime and don't get into religion. And that is a lie. That is a lie. It's no such thing, to be honest with you. It's a lie. So anyway, if you said that, welcome to the kingdom. If you have any additional questions or you need a little bit more understanding, you're more than welcome to reach out to me via Facebook. I keep my number posted on Facebook. Please only use it if it's necessary. I really don't like the social calls at all. I try not to entertain them. I am kind of busy. I work and live on site at a ministry, so I really don't have time to lay on the phone just having casual conversations. I kind of save that for my family. But, you know, if you do have a question regarding spirituality or next steps or what it is you do need to do, or, you know, you just don't quite get it, or, you know, you need a little bit of more special attention, then you can reach out to me. I'm always, as a believer, we have a responsibility to be available to you, and don't misunderstand. That is the conversations I want to have, not the, hey, girl, are you married type. Those are the ones I'd rather not. All right, so, you know, with that, again, we have a few more minutes, but I'm going to just end it now because I have some stuff I have to prepare for. But with that, you know, keep striving and keep pushing and keep walking. It's okay. He'll meet you where you are right now. So it doesn't matter what you've done. A lot of people have that in their mind about, well, I've done this and I've murdered people and I've done that and I sold drugs and all this stuff they have in their mind that they've done and they don't think salvation is available to, or including the ones that may say they sold to the devil and they don't think salvation is available to them. You need to get rid of that nonsense in your mind. It's just a mindset. It's just false doctrine that you have fell upon. If you read this Bible, I guarantee you have not done the things that they have done in this Bible and have found salvation and found it in a great and mighty way. So, you know, I guarantee you there's no one you can compare yourself to in this Bible. So if they found salvation, then come on, really? I mean, step your game up, really. Okay? So with that, have a blessed week. Stay tuned to next week's show. I think I want to do Cursed. I think I want to get into that show. That show's been pending for a little bit. I have so many shows pending, but that one, I think I'll tackle that subject next. So stay tuned. No matter what it is, it's going to be a relevant. It all ties in. It all connects the dots in some kind of way. Spirituality is spirituality. You can't talk about the good and don't talk about the bad. So some will say, oh, well, I don't like to give too much credit to the devil, and I don't like to dwell on the devil. But that's not what I do on my shows. I don't dwell on the devil. It's just a lot of things about the devil and strategies and all this other stuff that we were told to ignore, but and that's why it appears that he's winning. The stuff that we should be paying attention to and combating and rebuking, we are, like the earlier church taught us, ignoring it. Oh, but if you don't believe in it, it won't happen. Well, look at the state in the world and say that again. Why are we ignoring things that we should be paying attention to and we should be defeating and winning over? So let's do that. That's what my show's about. Let's do that. Okay, we're not giving credit. We're cutting down and putting under our foot as we should. With that, over and out.